Alti, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria and Switzerland.
In today's Alti interview, we talk to Dr. Jonathan Galea, the Managing Director of Blockchain Advisory. Jonathan is a lawyer and certified programmer in C. He is a proven expert on blockchain and distributed ledger technology issues. As a special treat, he tells us a practical case from cybersecurity. Jonathan, please introduce yourself briefly.
Thank you. My name is Jonathan. I am a lawyer practicing in the area of DLT and crypto assets. And I've been involved in the space since 2013, where I started off mostly in the crypto asset space by mining. And I was also part of some of the early altcoin projects as well. And in 2015, after I was introduced to the world of crypto assets from a technical perspective, I also pursued it from a legal perspective and wrote a doctorate of law thesis on the subject of Bitcoin and its effect on anti-money laundering legislation. And the following 2 years, I kept on specializing and digging further into this particular industry. I also completed a course in programming in the C language. And in 2017, I set up the company, my company, Blockchain Advisory Limited, whereby we started off by offering consultancy to those businesses wishing to integrate DLT and blockchain into their business models. And we also started consulting with the government of Malta in relation to the legal framework that was then later launched in 2018, the DLT regulated framework. Under one of the pillars of the same legal framework, the Virtual Financial Assets Act, which regulates exchanges and so on, we obtained our license as a VFA agent, meaning we are fully licensed by the Malta Financial Services Authority to assist companies in obtaining their own respective license here in Malta. We kept on, of course, consulting with the government of Malta, and we also extended our remit with other governments, such as the government of Serbia. And we also had a brief stint of consultancy with the Japanese Financial Services Authority. And namely, apart from helping companies set up in Malta, we also started helping companies in the jurisdiction of Liechtenstein as well, after the promulgation of the Blockchain Act. And we never, let's say, departed from our point of departure, which is basically helping companies integrate DLT and blockchain into their business model. And to this very day, we still offer solutions, blockchain-based solutions to companies in various sectors, namely the energy sector, waste management, food production, and so on, although we also deal with other industries as well. And we have also started offering solutions in the cybersecurity sphere as well, due to its increasing importance in this day and age.
Please give us an overview of the regulatory environment in Malta and Liechtenstein in relation to DLTs and cryptocurrencies.
The Maltese framework, of course, predates that of Liechtenstein. In fact, Malta was the first EU member state to launch a fully-fledged legal framework, which I would say is one of the most comprehensive seen so far in this industry. And this framework was launched in 2018. And the way that the Maltese regulator has tackled this industry is to regulate it from two main perspectives. That is the financial perspective and also the technical perspective. Starting off from the financial perspective, we have seen the promulgation of the Virtual Financial Assets Act, which regulates service providers such as exchanges, brokers, custodians, investment advice providers, and so on and so forth. All these service providers require license in order to operate in or from Malta and are subject to licensing requirements. And the regulator also, regulates the issuers of tokens in the form of ICOs as well. And this framework precisely has attracted quite a few companies to Malta due to the legal certainty that it offers and also due to the fact that it also offers peace of mind to investors and users alike, in the sense that if users are dealing with, let's say, an exchange which is regulated in Malta, then they are given peace of mind that such an exchange has been fully vetted and approved by the Malta Financial Services Authority. All applications with regards to the Malta Financial Services Authority are processed by the so-called VFA agents, which are lawyers, law firms, accountants, auditors, technical specialists, and so on, which are approved by the authority to offer such services to these companies. The regulator Malta has also set up a new authority called the Malta Digital Innovation Authority, the MDIA in short. And the MDIA serves as, let's say, a platform of standardization of technology being used and also issues certification in relation to the use of DLT and anything built using DLT. So, for example, if we have a smart contract which handles the issuance of tokens, then such a smart contract would need to be certified by the MDIA and audited by systems auditors, by approved systems auditors, to ensure that the smart contract complies with the standards which are issued by the authority itself. So we are not dealing with, let's say, a rules-based framework when it comes to what the MDIA does, but rather it has simply set certain technical standards which need to be adhered to if you are doing any such activities in or from Malta. So that, in a nutshell, is the regulatory environment in Malta and how the Maltese regulator has approached this industry. In Liechtenstein, the approach has been, let's say, a bit different than that of Malta. It has gone for a bit of a lighter touch approach, but at the same time, it still offers legal certainty and also a system of approval by the relevant financial authority, which is the Financial Markets Authority. And in Liechtenstein, they have placed a lot of emphasis on two main factors. First of all, when talking about tokens, when talking about DLT tokens, the way that the Liechtenstein regulator has approached it is different than Malta's. I must mention that in Malta, they have approached the concept of the DLT token by giving a classification of four main categories: financial instruments, electronic money, virtual tokens, and virtual financial assets. Financial instruments and e-money are regulated by European law. Virtual tokens are essentially tokens that have a sole use of acquisition of goods or services on the platform on which they're issued, and they are not traded on exchanges. Virtual financial assets are any tokens which are not financial instruments, e-money, or virtual tokens. So coins like Bitcoin, Ether, or tokens built upon Ethereum would be classified as VFAs if they are traded on exchanges and they are not, let's say, financial instruments or e-money. In Liechtenstein, the approach has been quite different in the sense that any kind of rights which can attach to a token, so any kind of rights which can be presented in a token, can potentially be, let's say, called a DLT token. So a token in Liechtenstein is seen as an empty container, let's call it that, which can be filled with certain rights, which might represent, let's say, certain rights under established laws or certain rights which are not established under any current laws. So, for example, if you have a right attached to a token, which right, let's say, represents the right to receive dividend at the end of, let's say, every quarter or every year, and gives you the right to vote in a certain undertaking, then that token would quite likely be seen as a financial instrument, simply because of the rights that attach to that token. But if that token simply gives you the right to make use of a platform and doesn't give you the right to dividend and so on, then that token can give you, let's say, the right to use it as a utility token. Or if the token gives you the right to make use of a payment network, then the token would be seen as a payment token. So there's a lot of emphasis being attached to the rights which pertain to a particular token. Secondly, the regulator, the FMA, issues, let's say, approvals in relation to, let's say, service providers that offer certain services. Not in the same way as the Maltese regulator, which issues it in the form of a licensing system, but rather, if, let's say, you are an exchange and you offer various services, such as, for example, the exchange service, the custodian service, and so on, under Liechtenstein law, you would require approval for each and every service that you provide. Whereas under Maltese law, if, let's say, you have the exchange license, then you can offer all services which an exchange typically offers, such as custodianship, exchanging, and so on and so forth, without requiring approval for each and every service that you are offering. So again, there is this divergence in relation to, let's say, Maltese law and Liechtenstein law. These differences between the Maltese framework and the Liechtenstein framework show that basically these frameworks are not in direct competition with each other, but rather they offer different solutions to different businesses, and depending on what these businesses are seeking to achieve out of the jurisdictions where they are operating from, then they would opt for either the OTIS framework or the decision site framework accordingly. So depending on the requirements and what they are seeking to obtain out of the jurisdiction from they're operating from.
Cybersecurity is one of your specialities. What do you offer here?
So we think of cybersecurity as an abstract concept and simply think of it of, it's a way of keeping our business safe. It's true, but that's not just cybersecurity. And in the sense that, again, cybersecurity as a concept is a multifaceted being which consists of different key areas. And basically, these key areas, first of all, consist of assessments and certain testing when it comes to the resiliency of a company's or business's systems. So first and foremost, what we do is when dealing with a client, we go there and we conduct our work remotely, and we assess the systems that are in place by the client. Prior to that, we also, of course, assess the business of the client, and we identify the typical risks that that kind of business, that kind of category of business, typically, faces in the daily operations and the daily activities of, the employees and so on. We also offer a program management whereby, again, after assessing if need be, when giving certain suggestions and so on, we would, of course, create a program to be followed by that particular entity, and in order to ensure that, again, the daily operations are being conducted in a safe manner by that same company. Typically, companies either have the option of hiring in-house experts in order to handle their cybersecurity, or otherwise engaging through outsourcing, whereby, again, such programs can be prepared, and there can also be a monitoring of the implementation of this program, which is what we offer from our end. Going back also to the assessment of a typical, company's framework, we also conduct, certain testing, namely penetration testing, and also stress testing of a particular company's system in place or framework which is in place. And it is often through such testing that although, some other service providers might perhaps say that they offer penetration testing and so on, this kind of penetration testing that we conduct from our end is adherent to certain international standards, which again are approved as the typical industry standards. And therefore, we ensure that whenever we conduct certain tests, it is not your run-of-the-mill test, which would, simply tick some of the boxes and we'll get along with it, but rather it's quite a rigorous form of testing that we would, of course, conduct in order to ensure that the businesses systems are resilient against the latest kind of attacks, which are currently being conducted in this day and age. We also offer, apart from programs, we offer solutions in terms of security services and security solutions, which are tailor-made for a particular, business's needs. And speaking of the business's needs and systems, we also are, of course, aware of the fact that, certain businesses' systems may be either based on the cloud, they might be, based on an in-house server. Lately, we've also started seeing systems which are blockchain-based, and therefore, from our end, we also ensure that whatever systems are in place, then our tools, our solutions are also catered for the client's particular solutions, wherever they are hosted or wherever they are based. Lastly, I mentioned, of course, that we also offer a cybersecurity program, and we also implement systems whereby we would allow for a certain degree of automation going forward after the implementation of our own programs. So we understand that, again, not every business would want, engage a particular firm in order to conduct certain testing, certain methodologies or certain processes every so often. So our systems also allow for a certain degree of automation. Naturally, we also offer support for any solutions that we provide in order to ensure that, again, any solutions that we provide are always kept up to date and in line with the customer's needs.
Please give us a concrete example from your practical work.
One particular case that we had, and which I would like, of course, to talk about, is the case of a particular client of ours who was conducting an ICO back in early 2018, so 2 years ago. And the reason I want to bring this case up is in order to show that sometimes the weakest link is not the software that a particular client is using, or let's say a particular framework that they have in place, but rather sometimes the weakest link is actually the employees themselves, the persons themselves. So we were engaged by the client in order to conduct, first of all, a code audit of the smart contract they were going to use for their token issuance. And we're also engaged to conduct, let's say, an assessment and also penetration testing of the storage systems they were going to use for the funds raised. So we had to look at the cold wallet system they were going to use, how they're going to transfer tokens from their hot wallets to their cold wallets, and also how they're going to distribute the funds, or rather the tokens, at a later stage once the lockup period is over. So we went through all of these, and except for some, let's say, minor errors in the smart contract, the token issuance smart contract, there were not a lot of other things which were, let's say, of major, let's say, disturbance or major requiring of, let's say, concern. And overall, from a software perspective, the client was very well prepared, because of course they had engaged some renowned experts in the industry in order to prepare all this for them. However, to our surprise, when we actually went to their office in London, we discovered that the staff, which were, let's say, responsible for handling certain client requests, community managers, also, let's say, certain persons who are responsible for handling certain transferring of funds and so on, we discovered that they were not trained well enough in order to, let's say, curb any potential issues should, let's say, any attacks occur or any threats emerge. In fact, suffice it to say, when we started looking at the methodology used in terms of, let's say, of creating certain passwords in order to protect certain files and so on, we discovered certain basics were not even being adhered to. And even though they had looked intensively at the software they were using in terms of storage of funds and so on, when we took a look at the devices they were using, we saw that they weren't even, let's say, installing certain basics such as, let's say, antivirus software and so on, which we deem to be, let's say, the bare essentials whenever dealing with, let's say, the cyber world. We also discovered that they were not fully prepared in terms of any kind of social engineering attacks. In fact, in 2018 and even 2017, we saw quite a few attacks happening in terms of SIM swapping, which is, let's say, a phenomenon whereby persons would, let's say, take control over your SIM card data by contacting the telephone service provider, acting as if they are you, and by going through the customer support unit of the telephone service provider, they would actually convince them that they would have, let's say, lost their SIM card or something, and would then migrate their data to a new SIM card which would be owned by them. So all of a sudden you find yourself locked out and unable to use your own phone number. And this is something that we tackled with them. For example, told them, listen, in terms of your telephone service provider, make sure that you set a password with your telephone service provider so that whenever you're in touch with them, first and foremost, they will ask for your password, and then they will able to let's say, address your needs through the phone call with the telephone service provider. So we also spoke to them about the importance of using encrypted messaging systems. They were using Facebook Messenger in order to, let's say, talk about certain sensitive matters related to the company. So tell them, listen, there are certain secure systems out there, such as Signal, which are end-to-end encrypted, and the private keys are not held by third parties, but the private keys are basically held by yourself. Also, in the case of certain, let's say, encrypted mail systems, such as ProtonMail. So again, we took it to heart, and we trained the personnel at this particular company in order to, let's say, secure the weakest chain in the link, which more often than not tends to be the human employees themselves rather than the systems we put in place. It's used as spending thousands and thousands of euro in securing your systems when your employees are not sufficiently trained to handle certain events, let's say that.
What do you recommend to your customers regarding the implementation of blockchain technologies, let's say in the near future?
Very good question. And I would tackle this question not just from a near future perspective, but also from past experience as well. Especially throughout, let's say, the mania of 2018, where people just wanted to put everything onto blockchain, we received a lot of requests, which from our end we had to turn down. Simply because it was quite clear to us that, let's say, the business model of the particular client who was seeking our services would not benefit at all from blockchain technology. So first and foremost, the thing that I recommend to customers is that, listen, do you actually need blockchain? Does your business model actually benefit from the use of blockchain technology? We must keep in mind that blockchain technology is, let's say, a technology which is best used in trustless environments. So in environments where basically there are certain stakeholders which, of their very own nature, cannot trust each other. Now, if you are using a system whereby, for example, your customers need to trust you and they have no other option, then why would you use blockchain technology if that trust is already there? And this is something that we often encounter with customers who want to use blockchain in, let's say, environments with a few players, with a few stakeholders. And really and truly, if you were to use blockchain in such a system, then it would actually be counterproductive to use blockchain. It would actually increase the costs, increase latency in terms of provision of services and so on, and be very counterproductive in that regard. So first and foremost, we study the business model of the particular customer, and we would, let's say, advise the customer to adopt blockchain or otherwise after this preliminary assessment. So that's the first thing to keep in consideration. Secondly, blockchain technology and digitalization are not the same thing. We often meet customers telling us, okay, we want to put this on a blockchain, when in reality they haven't even undergone the first fundamental step of putting, of placing their, of digitalizing their systems, basically. So if they have a system which is still paper-based, then how can it actually be become blockchain-based? The first step to do is to actually make your current business model go digital. And if you cannot do that, then obviously your system cannot really benefit from blockchain technology. Thirdly, I would say that it's never too early and definitely never too late to start considering using blockchain for your business if your business model can actually benefit from blockchain technology. So simply think, okay, I will wait until my competitors use blockchain and then perhaps I will start thinking of adopting it myself, doesn't really cut it. There are certain, of course, let's say, things to look out for when you are the first mover in a particular industry. But at the same time, if you think about the benefits which you can reap from being the first mover, then if you are diligent enough and you conduct an accurate and thorough study of your business model and what it would mean if you were to place it on a blockchain, if following such a study, then you see that actually your business model would benefit greatly from the adoption of blockchain technology, then do not hesitate in taking the leap of faith and actually, let's say, moving and transitioning your system to a blockchain, even if partly. You don't need to sort of like transition your business model in a night and day, let's say, way of doing things. But rather, if you simply move your business model partly onto a blockchain, let's say, for example, by starting or by recording certain transactions onto a blockchain, then you would start, of course, seeing the particular benefits that your business would reap from blockchain technology. And then, of course, let's say, continue expanding in a piecemeal fashion until, of course, you transition your business fully to a blockchain. So I would say that those are the three main pieces of advice I would give to customers regarding the implementation of blockchain technology. Naturally, those are just the first three starter steps to take into consideration. Obviously, there are more things to take into consideration. And from our end, we are always happy to have a chat with clients in order to see, you know, how best to potentially enter the world of blockchain technology.
That was Jonathan Galia from Blockchain Advisory in Malta. Thank you for the interview.
ALTI, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria and Switzerland. ALTI.com. ALTI.com.